Have you ever found yourself up around 3 o'clock in the morning, struggling with the thoughts that are running through your head, whether it's a relational problem, a financial issue, a health concern? And you're up because your body believes that it can do something. And as you know, that from that point, that there's really nothing you can do other than you're looking to get sleep and you're not getting sleep, and you're worried now that you're not getting sleep. And all of a sudden, the anxiety becomes even greater, right? Just like 2 seconds ago, before the slides came up, I was sitting over there praying, Lord, I pray that these slides would come up. You have no, right? And then all of a sudden, what happens is your heart starts beating, right? And you come to a place where it's like, you know what, I can't control it. And but we've all found ourselves in that place, full of anxiety. And Jesus tells us not to be anxious, right? And here's the question most believers have, right? Then how do I do that? Right? Elder Joe just read the scriptures, and in the scriptures we heard is the answer how not to be anxious. And even though you've heard these and you've heard them before, you walk away going, I still don't know how to do it. Right? Meanwhile, the answer is in God's word. And I believe that when you and I identify that we're anxious, then that should be an internal signal that should prompt us to start praying. Right? Because we can't do two things at the same time. And also in the anxiety that we are experiencing gets shifted over into a godly purpose. Right, and but before we go into God's word and open it, I just want to talk about a word that Jesus gave, just as we heard those scriptures. He said, therefore, right? And last week we heard about the rich fool who built a barn large enough to gather all of his crops in. And then at that evening, when he completed everything and he felt as if, you know what, I've got it all together, right? God would call for his soul. So these verses are the application of what we heard last week, right? He would say, don't be anxious. Right, and we're going to learn, well, how do we do that, right? But he starts off with this, right? Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them, right? He says, consider the ravens. Consider the ravens right now, right? While you're sitting in this air-conditioned building, listening to this message, right? God is currently taking care of feeding the ravens. God's word is not saying be like a raven, right? That's not what he's saying. However, he is saying that the ravens themselves, right, they don't go and plant their seed and then harvest their food and then store it away so they have it all year. Every day, God provides for them, and they have enough to sustain life. And it's not something that they are worried about. Right? So Scripture says, consider them. Right? Consider how your Father takes care of them, and if He takes care of them, how much more is He going to take care of you? Right? Which is what He says. How much more value are you than the birds? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Right? It's Jesus in a little humor, right? How many of you guys like humor? Right? That's we all like a good joke, right? So he says, right? It's like, how many of you, right, by worrying all night, right, can even add a single minute to extend your life, right? Right. So this is a question he's asking, and so internally we need to answer that, right? It's like, well, when I was worrying about whether we were going to have the slides for our sermon or not, right? It's like I really just wasted some time other than praying, right, and seeking God, right, for Him to give me comfort, right? Consider the ravens, right? Contemplate the animals that are out in the wilderness, right, and how they are able to be provided for. Consider them. And then he would switch, right? He would say, consider the lilies, how they grow. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them, right? He compares them to Solomon, the most wealthiest individual in the world. They say his throne room was totally wrapped in gilded gold. Right, and God would say that the lilies of the field, and it's like He didn't even compare to them, right? And if you ever go to Israel, the northern part of Israel, where it's all green because that's where they receive all the rain, right? There's a little plant, right? And it looks like this little poppy plant, right? And in Israel, this plant is called kalanit, right? K-A-L-A-N-I-T, kalanit, right? And this is their national plant. As a matter of fact, if you pick this plant, you could get fined and arrested, right? So they don't have lilies. Like we would have lilies here, right? So when Scripture talks about lilies, this is the plant they're talking about, right? And when you look at this plant in early spring, right, through most of the spring, early summer, right, it covers the hillside in this carpet of red. Right? But the thing about the plant, it doesn't last long, right? It sprouts. It shoots its color in a couple days, then it dies, and then another one grows, right? And so Jesus would say, right, consider the lilies, right, of how they look and how they provide, right? Right, and so let me see if I could go back, right? Consider the lilies, how they grow. Even Solomon, in all his glory, did not array like one of them, right? And then he says, if God so clothes the grass, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith, right? And so Jesus gives what the problem is, the diagnosis, right? It's the lack of faith, right? Ask yourself, right? When you sit there worried about things you really can't control, right? Is it a lack of faith? Right? Especially if that anxiousness doesn't convert to prayer, right? Because in the end, God is the answer to every worry you have, right? Every concern you could ever bring up, right? God is the answer, right? Like think of all your problems, all your issues, right? Is God above all of that, right? Some of us want better relationships with our loved ones, better forms of communication, right? But if we don't seek God, which is above that, we're always going to fall short in how we communicate with each other. Because God shows us that in relationship, if it's not sacrificial, then it's going to be what I want, what you want. Right, in all of this, remember, right, this is in relationship to what he said last week. This is the therefore, this is the application. You ask yourself, why did the rich fool build such a barn? Right, and here's the answer. He was anxious that he didn't have enough room for all his crops. Right, so he built something with his means instead of trusting the one who provided the crops. Remember last week we talked about how many times he said, my crop, my storeroom, right? My soul. And not once did he even give credit to God. Again, these little poppy plants are so beautiful when you see them out there, right? And here's what he would say, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. What things? Right? And these are the unregenerated unbelievers of the world, right? And when you ask yourself, what is it that they seek for? They seek for food, for clothing, for all the materialistic things that one would believe they need in order to survive. And the one thing they need above all of that is God, right? And if you find yourself seeking and looking for those things, then you are behaving like an unbeliever. You are behaving as one that doesn't believe God has your best interest. Here's what Luke would say, and your Father knows that you need them. All the things that you need in order to live life, guess what? God knows you need them. So he's not going to withhold them from you. If he goes out of his way to provide for ravens every single day, as we learned last week, if he's the God that cares about the fifth sparrow, how much more is he going to care about you? Because he knows, right? And sometimes we behave as if God doesn't know. Sometimes we behave as if, you know what, God, we know that you could do this, but you must be busy with all these other requests, right? That you've forgotten me, right? And years ago, we used to say, right, that God was the God of the last second, the last minute. Like he would show up at the last minute, right? And no, he showed up exactly when he needed to show up, right? You're the one that showed up in the last second, right? And these things will be added to you, right? What would be added to you? It said, instead, seek his kingdom, right? Hello? God calling, right? Right. Instead, seek his kingdom, right? So Jesus is reorientating your priorities, my priorities, right? Think of the things that you believe are all important Monday through Saturday. Right? You know that if you were to seek God with all of your heart and trust Him, and as a result, you would receive His kingdom, the very thing He promises us, not something that's going to come later, but now. All of a sudden, you and I would have better relationships with each other. All of a sudden, you and I would not worry about who, are we going to have enough, right? Because He knows what you need. And here's the thing, right? You and I don't need stuff. What we need is God, right? That's what we need. Like, ask yourself, what do you need right now, right? And my hope is that you would say Jesus, right? That's what I need right now. Because if I have Jesus, guess what? I'm going to have a better relationship with my wife. If I have Jesus, I'm going to have a better relationship with my neighbor. If I have Jesus, I'm going to have a better relationship with the world, and I won't behave like the nations of the world. Remember last week where Jesus asked us to reprioritize our fear, and He said, if you have the fear of God, right, then you don't have to fear all these other things. Right? So He will reiterate that, and He says, fear not, little flock. Right? All of a sudden, He takes this tone of a shepherd, a pastor, of taking care of his flock. Right? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Right? So let me ask you, is that enough for you? Is His kingdom enough for you? Or are you looking for something? Yeah, God, I'll take the kingdom. However, I have this other issue. Right? Is His kingdom enough for you? Are you able to rest in knowing that His kingdom is more than sufficient for you? Or are you fearful that you're lacking in some earthly thing that is not going to be here tomorrow? If there's one verse in Scripture that's worth memorizing, it's that one, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Right? It kind of helps us to remind ourselves who we are in the presence of God. We're little, and He's calling us little sheep. Right? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? That's, He knows what we need more than anything else. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with treasures in heaven that will not fail, where the thief approaches and no money destroyed. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? The Scriptures tell us to sell all of our possessions, right? To not be held down with the things of this world, because God is the one who is providing them, right? In other words, get rid of all of the things that hinder us from living God's calling, is what He's calling us to do. Right. Don't allow the earthly things, the things that the nations seek after, hold you back from living the life that God has for you. Remember that throughout of all of Luke, right, we've heard a couple times that when He sends out His disciples, what's He say? Take nothing with you, right? Right? So that nobody can say, well, it's out of my abundance that we were able to get through. No, it's so that they can rely solely on God, day by day. And when you read Scripture, it's almost as if that's God's plan. Remember with the manna? How much manna were they able to collect in a day? Just enough for that day. No more. Only on the weekend were they allowed to collect a double portion. When we're anxious, it's because the thing we're anxious over, at that moment, that has become our treasure. Right? Follow me here. Right? And God says, right, that if we reprioritize all of that, right, and if our relationship with God is secure, and that he's going to provide for us his kingdom, then my treasure is with God, where thief and moth will not destroy. And all of a sudden, at that moment, I don't have to worry about it. At that moment, I'm free to live my life for God. The things that bother me, hinder me, hold me down, it's like, you know what? I'm going to be okay. Remember what I said last week? Bring it on, right? Whatever the world has to throw at you, bring it on. Why? I'm not afraid. Bring it on. But sometimes we leave church, it's like, are we okay out here? Right? What's your treasure? Right? Because if it isn't God, then it's an idol. Even if it's the thing you say you love, right? Stay dressed for actions and keep your lamps burning. Blessed are those servants who the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. Right? It's a picture of this eschatological event of this wedding feast that's going to happen at the end times, where we're going to be at a wedding feast. Right? And he says, keep your lamps burning. Right? And we don't know when he's going to return, but when he returns, right, that he may find you ready for action. Right? Remember, this is the application of the therefore, because we're not anxious to build a barn and store up for ourselves. However, we're ready, and what shows that we're ready is that our lamp is full with oil and it's burning. And when he returns, we don't know when he's going to return, but he said he's going to return, that he would find you ready. Not tired because you've been up all night, anxious, worrying about things you can't change. And all of a sudden, Scripture says that he, finding you ready, he's going to dress himself as the one who's going to serve you. He's going to serve you the meal like a waiter. He's going to wash your feet. He's going to have you reclining at the table. It's amazing what happens when worry is removed from us. Right? He will come and serve you. What a good God. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. Right? And then Peter says, is this parable for us, the disciples, or is it for everyone else? Right? And Jesus, in his amazing way of communicating, gives them another parable. It's like, right? He doesn't even answer his question. right? And he gives the picture of two servants, right? One who is in self-will, and another one who is submitted to the will of God, right? So the one in self-will, right, it's not that he doesn't believe that the master is not going to return. He knows that the master is not come. He's going to come back. However, he has come to the conclusion, based on what he's experiencing, he's not coming now. Right? Some of us live that way, right? Well, he's not here now. Right? And as a result, he starts to abuse all the other servants. But then you have all these other servants, right? And they are doing what they need to be doing, even though they are getting abused. Even though life is not fair. Everyone to whom much is given of him, much will be required. Now let me ask you, do you feel as if you've been given anything? No? Right, so let me say what we said last week, right? Each and every one of us, in reference to our responsibility, we've been given the gospel. That's what we've been given. Like when you say, hey, have I been given this, that, or anything that's... No, the gospel is what you've been given, right? And as a result of that, we have now a greater responsibility to give it away. It isn't a house. It isn't relationships. It isn't money. It isn't financial stability, even though all those things are important in your life and in my life, but it's about putting them in their proper perspective, in their proper place. Right? And once we have those things in their proper place, what happens is those things don't become our gods. Little g. Right? So many of us say, right, it's like, oh, when I get here, I'll do this. Oh, when I save enough money, I will do this. Right? And we tend to put aside the things that God is putting on our hearts to do now, right? And a lot of us are acting like the rich fool, right? Oh, now that my barn is built and filled, now I can sit back and relax. But unbeknownst to him, that night, God's going to require his soul. Every day, I go to the gym, and it's so that I could feel better. Every day, I feel worse. Just how it is. I wake up, body aches, hurts, right? Did you see part of the video, right? So we were doing a how far you can leap, right? And after all the kids went, right, they said, Pastor Jose, how far can you leap? That was such a mistake in my life. I heard things that I'm recovering. Seek those things that are in heaven. Right? But again, it's a constant reminder, right, that things are not the way God intended them to be, right? And I could do certain things to prolong so that I can have a healthier life, a more mobile life, right? But Scripture tells me that this tent is a tent that has holes in it. However, there's a home in heaven that's not built with human hands. right, that God has provided for you and for me. Right? It's, think about, right? It's, is there anything that you've worried about, been anxious about, that you've been able to add 1 hour to your life to extend it? Especially when Scripture says that God knows the appointed time, right, of when we are going to be born and when we will be called home. Your Father knows. He knows what you need. He knows what your struggles are. He knows where your ups and downs are. Your Father knows, right? And we, according to Scripture, right, it's, we need to put our faith in what He has provided for you and for me, right? He knows, right? And because He knows, it is by seeking Him that I can get a glimpse into what He knows. And if you're unsure of how to get to Him, our Father, read your Bibles, right? Read God's Word, and you will discover the Father that knows, right? Fear not, little flock, right? It's so many things overwhelm us, right? And here's the thing, right? That sometimes we have created just amazing ways to justify our fears, right? Almost as if giving us license to be full of fear. And here's the thing, right? God says you could fear all these things that are of the world, but if you have the fear of God, then you don't have to fear the things that are of the world, right? So it's about having that proper perspective with your relationship with God, right? And He says, fear not, little flock, for your Father knows, right? It is His good pleasure. He knows what you need, more than even you know what you need, right? Let me ask you, if I was to give you a piece of paper and you were asked this question, what do you need right now? Right? Think about what your answer would be. Right? And my hope, right, that every one of you, right, would have this. God. That's what I need. I need God. Right? Now ask yourself, did anything else creep in there? Right? Of what you think you needed? Did anything else? Right? And if it did, right, you need to reorientate that. Right? It's because what we need is God. Right? And you and I, as we receive God and walk with God and walk with Jesus, what happens is that we have been given the gospel and now we have a greater responsibility. Fear not, little flock. He calls us to be ready. As we have the fear of our Lord in our hearts, also we can take that fear, the very thing that keeps us anxious and awake at night, and also we can turn it around and become ready. Ready for when He returns. Ready that He won't find you idle. Ready that you're not sitting there trying to manipulate and go, you know what, He's not coming now. And you're living in your self-driven, anxious life. Ask yourself this question. What is your storehouse? Right? Ask yourself that, right? What is your storehouse? What is the thing that you're working hard to build up that all of a sudden, when it's completed, you could go, now, now I can relax. Now it's like, right? It's now I'm ready, right? To do what God wants me to do. Right? It's remember that the lamp was filled with oil and the servant was ready, waiting for the master to return. And my prayer is that God would find you ready. Find you with your lamp filled. Find you with a fear that you are fearful of God in relationship to God and not so fearful to what the world can do to you. Not fearful because you feel that your bank account is not where it needs to be. Right? Because here's the thing, God knows what you need. He knows better than what you believe you need. Right? So seek the one who calls you, right? Oh, you of little faith, right? Take that as an encouragement, right? Right? Most of us don't hear it as an encouragement, but take it as an encouragement. It's like, you know what? He's calling you out of the thing that's holding you back. And as we come to an end, we're going to pray. Right? And my prayer is that these words would become your words. Right? And as you hear these words, seek God, and as Jackie comes and we get ready to sing our last worship song, let us give our attention to this prayer. Gracious Father, you know us completely. Before a word is on our lips, you know it all together. Before anxiety finds its way into our hearts, you have already seen it. Every burden we have carried this week, every sleepless hour, every fear we cannot explain, every future we have tried to manage with our own hands, you already know. We do not come to inform you of our needs, but to confess that we have always been safely in your sovereign hand. Forgive us, Father, for living as though this world was all we had. Forgive us for chasing what the nation chases, for measuring life by possession, security, and control. We confess that we have worried about tomorrow instead of trusting the one who holds tomorrow. We have looked at the raven you faithfully fed and the lilies you beautifully clothed. Yet our hearts have still whispered, perhaps this burden is too great, even for God. Lord, forgive your little faiths. Yet today we hear again the gentle voice of our Savior, fear not, little flock. Thank you that we belong to you, not because we have earned a place in your kingdom, but because it is your good pleasure to give it to us through your Son. We are weak, but you are strong. We are needy, but you are faithful. We lay every specific anxiety before you, trusting not in our ability to overcome fear, but in your perfect love that casts out fear. Teach us to fear you above every earthly uncertainty, knowing that your will always be wise, good, and perfect. Lord, fix our hearts on your kingdom, where your treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Redirect our affections away from the fading treasures of this world and toward your eternal riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. Make the hope of your kingdom so glorious that the worries which once consumed us lose their power in the light of your promises. And while we wait for our Savior's return, make us faithful servants. Keep us dressed for actions, with our lamps burning brightly. Deliver us from spiritual laziness, distraction, complacency. Help us to faithfully steward every gift, every opportunity, every responsibility you have entrusted to us. May we be found watching, serving, loving, proclaiming Christ when our Master comes. Free us from anxiety so that we may be fully present with those around us. Make us gracious before you, because you have been gracious to us. Make us compassionate because you have shown mercy. Make us useful for your kingdom, pointing others to the only lasting hope found in Jesus Christ. Father, keep us trusting you. Keep us ready. Keep us faithful until your glorious day. And when faith becomes sight, our Lord, you will return in glory. You, for your kingdom, for your power, for your glory forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Would you rise as we worship our God?